Well, first to the big questions over the future of New Zealand's biggest public-private partnership project, Transmission Gully. The 27-kilometre stretch of motorway north of the capital was slated to open in November this year, but the disruption caused by COVID-19 has seen that date pushed back to mid-next year. The cost has already blown out by nearly $200 million from an original estimate of $850 million. So who pays? The New Zealand Transport Agency? The private arm, the Wellington Gateway Partnership? Or the building contractors? RNZ has reported the parties are looking at renegotiating or even terminating contracts if they are unable to agree after 40 working days. Well, those 40 days could end this week. The New Zealand Transport Agency declined an interview on 9 to noon this morning. In a statement, it says it will provide further updates to stakeholders, local government and the public, quote, as soon as we are in a position to do so, taking account of the commercial terms of the PPP and the current discussions underway. Road Transport Forum New Zealand Chief Executive Nick Leggett said the disruption could put as much as 4 years on the project, as many as 4 years, and is calling into question whether New Zealand has the capability for such large-scale infrastructure projects. Nick Leggett is with us. Good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Also with us, Porirua City Council's Mayor Anita Baker. Morena, Anita.
Morning.
Nick, may I start with you? I know each of you have sought briefings from NZTA. Nick, when did the Road Forum last have one? What did they tell you?
The Transport Agency briefed us over 2 weeks ago now in response to our public concerns as representatives of the trucking industry about the progress on the construction of Transmission Gully. And we were told at that briefing, obviously, that they were very committed to finishing construction of the road and that there were obviously commercial negotiations going on. We were also told it was very complex and that, you know, perhaps we didn't quite understand the complexity and the nature of the discussions. And you do have to respect the fact that the agency needs to conduct these sort of discussions, but at the moment there are so many rumours flying around and so many people talking to the media for both in New Zealand and offshore that if there isn't good information and regular updates, then what happens is that void is filled by, you know, rumour and innuendo. And what we do know very clearly is that there are very, you know, compared to the previous several hundred workers on the site, there's been a significant reduction. There are rumours around the fact that the Australian contingent of the workforce, a lot of the skilled technical engineering type people have gone home and that perhaps they won't come back. And there is just discussion around local businesses that have been supplying services over the years to the project that perhaps they're not required at the moment. And you wonder around the kind of delays that creates, and you think about the cost that adds to the government and the cost it adds to not just the Wellington region but the country in terms of productivity and also safety, because this is 27 kilometres of high quality state highway that comes into the capital region of New Zealand. It moves people and it will move people and freight, and if you look at the current route that it's replacing, it's going to be significantly safer to have Transmission Gully up and running as soon as possible. But we want to know that the quality of the construction is what we expect as community and as road users, but also that it's going to be completed on time and to a relevant budget.
Look, it is complex in many ways. Let's look at the simple thing that you're dealing with, the public New Zealand Transport Agency, the private arm, the Wellington Gateway Partnership, the financiers and others, and then you've got the building contractors themselves, a joint venture, yes, between a New Zealand company and an Australian firm.
That's right.
Now, let's talk about the building contractors and what the issues are there. As you said, some of the Australian-based contractors have gone home and left pretty quickly, as many people did, I guess, over COVID. We don't know, do we, have you heard at all, whether there are issues with many of them returning? You've just intimated there may well be.
Well, that's what's going round, and that would be of significant concern if it were true, Catherine, because what we know is to build this project effectively, it needed to source labour from offshore. So some of the technical people, and often actually some of the people on the tools themselves from places like the Philippines. And what we've got in the pipeline is a promise from the government that there's going to be a whole lot, that there's going to be a new announcement about a whole lot of other infrastructure projects over the next few years. And the concern is if we don't have the capability and the capacity to build projects like this that we've currently got on our books, how effective are we going to be at delivering the things that are in the pipe that are going to be announced by the government?
All right.
I mean, I think that is a real public question and concern that New Zealanders should have at this time, because we do require high-quality public infrastructure. I think everybody agrees on that. But we also need to be able to build it, not just announce it.
Let's look at the money story here as well. There's, as is almost exclusively always the case, already a blowout, $200 million. There are also delay penalties, I think, aren't there, for every month of, there's cost run up for every month of delay, and there are delay penalties. What is the story with who is picking up the tab for each?
Well, we simply don't know the answer to that, and presumably that's what the negotiations that are occurring at the moment are talking about. What we do, I think, know is that obviously there was an original contract price, I think, of about $850 million, and last year there was legal action by the Gateway Partnership, that is the funder and the builder of the road, against the New Zealand Transport Agency, and we understand that was settled, I think, earlier this year for just under $200 million. I believe that was the figure. So what you've got, the purpose of a public-private partnership really is to insulate the public from the risk of large-scale infrastructure project costs blowing out, and really allowing those people who are experts to get on and do the business and build the infrastructure. To have this payout that came from left field, because clearly there were issues with the public-private partnership agreement at some point, it undermines the situation, I think, as far as the road funding public and commercial road sector go, because the original price was suddenly expanded, and the taxpayers clearly picked up the tab.
Well, have we got another issue now, looking forward and looking at these few weeks of delay?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so we've seen a few weeks of delay, 8 weeks of delay. Look, and this is the thing. I think I can't speak for Mayor Bater, but I can certainly say the commercial road transport industry, who really want this road to happen because it's about reliability and timeliness of getting goods to the ferries on safe roads and reducing congestion, we're prepared to put up with delays. We're prepared to accept delays and be reasonable. But we don't quite know what and when we're going to hear about what the situation is. So 8 weeks of delay with a because of the COVID situation, absolutely acceptable. But why does that blow out to a year or 2 years or however long it is? We don't actually have an end date yet, of course. It's filling in those gaps. And it's not about giving every bit of information. We're not asking NZTA to do that. But it's just about being clear and regularly updating us. Yes, these are complex issues, but actually you've got a very interested and engaged public who actually deserve to know what's happening and by when.
Is it likely it was under-costed from the start? We have seen this. We've saw this with the like of the earthquake rebuild and what happened with construction companies competing with each other. And yes, they have a responsibility to get their estimates broadly right, but so does the government, central or local government, that is signing the contract. Is that something else that's happened here?
Well, yes. I mean, and you think about the inner-city rail in Auckland, which I think has already grown by $1 billion over the last little while. There is, a pattern is beginning to emerge on some of our infrastructure builds around that underestimation. I mean, it's like anything. If you want to get a job, you will often undercut or lowball a price to get it. And then if you're an offshore party, potentially you get in and realise that perhaps the geology and the topography and the planning rules are more complex than you had priced. And, we see what happens. I'm saying that's a possibility, but it is of concern that we are still driven by price and that we're often perhaps not getting the best job done. And you've seen that in other highways around the country where they've really, after a very short time, started to degrade, and it's clear that the work that was done on the surfacing wasn't actually right. So, and Catherine, I would say this as well, but what we, I think, require here is good political oversight. If you are the government and you know that you've got a big bit of infrastructure that means a lot and is going to be important to the economy and lots of different people and communities, surely you are standing over it and making sure and foreseeing problems and ironing those problems out before they become things that actually down tools.
I want to come to Anita, but I just want to finish the thread of where we're at with you, Nick, because, as we said, it is a complex negotiation. We haven't even talked about force majeure and whether or not there's an argument COVID can be pulled into this as well, the bigger picture as well. But is there a risk that NZTA will not get this resolved with either the private partnership or, more particularly, perhaps with the actual building contractors? Is there a risk they're just not going to get that resolved?
Well, I suspect that is a risk. I mean, I have to say I have faith in NZTA to overcome the challenges they've got. They've certainly got teams of people who are working on this. But, yeah, if you think about the partnership, and actually, if you look at the funder/builder of the road, the Gateway Partnership, ACC is a 25% funder of that. So the New Zealand taxpayer is involved in different at different levels and in different positions with this project. So if it's not got right, we're going to pay, essentially.
Is there any suggestion NZTA is exploring how a backup plan, perhaps talking to other players in the sector, in case this can't be resolved with the actual building contractors, the people physically building the road? Is there any suggestion they are looking at a backup plan?
That's something that is certainly doing the rounds.
All right, thank you.
And that is concerning.
Thank you. Anita Baker, thank you very much for being patient. The Mayor of Porirua, but it is a complex one. You also have sought information from NZTA. I think the regional mayors have been briefed recently. Could you tell us what you were told?
Well, really, we didn't really get much of an update at all, just that it's been pushed out. So we actually haven't been given a time frame. And from my point of view, as a partner, I would have thought we would have found out a bit more information before the public. Porirua completely supports Transmission Gully. You know, it's a big deal for us. We're investing $35 million into two link roads from Whitby and Waitangarua, so our residents and local businesses have confidence they can travel north and south quickly on State Highway 1. At the moment, you know, the congestion is really high. We're on Centennial Highway, which is a high accident risk. And the whole idea of Transmission Gully is it helps us and helps all of our businesses. So we're totally behind it, but I'm finding that we're not getting the information through, and I'm sick of hearing rumours, and they are just rumours. I had a gentleman come up to me in the supermarket during lockdown telling me about all the trucks at the airport and the project managers weren't doing a good job. Now, they are rumours. That's not the truth, and I really just want to know when we're going to get it finished. You know, we have our Kenepuru interchange, which comes in at Kenepuru Drive by a hospital and the new subdivision for the landings in the Somerset Retirement Village. And we've had a number of new businesses re-site to Porirua for the opening of this link road and joining for this access. You know, the trucks from Elsco want to zip to Palmerston each day, which they do, and they want to get on safely and quickly. And our interchange there was going to open 6 months after Transmission Gully because of the delays. I'd like to think that with these delays, we might get that interchange open at the same time as Transmission Gully. And they're the sort of questions I've got and I'm pushing. So I really just want them to front up and tell me the truth before they tell the public. You know, but 100%.
Well, they're not telling the public either, Anita, are they?
No, I know. No, they're not. But when we hear rumours and we hear things like what Nick has said, you know, I'd rather, as the Mayor and our CEO, we'd rather hear these things up front from their CEO, who we have requested updates from. So that's my frustration. I want the project to finish.
Look, November was always seen to be tight. In fairness, weather will come into play soon because of the COVID-19 delays. Weather may well become an issue. But do you believe this is just about COVID and trying to sort out things like perhaps where the force majeure might come in and insurance might become part of the delay costs here? Do you really believe it is just about this impact?
Well, they are busy working on our link roads, which is the same contractor. So they're going to get those finished for us at the end of this year. They're almost up to sealing. So they are working on those parts of the road that is still being done for the council so that we can pay in time to get everything ready. So I'll have two link roads that go nowhere until the road opens. So from that point of view, I'd like to know how long I'm going to be sitting on the money that we're not getting onto these roads. So they are still partially working, but yeah, a realistic timeframe would be wonderful. I think with December, November, it was always pushing it. Lockdown, we had beautiful weather. Now we're coming into the wet season, so it's not ideal from the construction point of view. So I'm sure it's going to be pushed another 6 months, but I'd just like to know whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years. I don't think that's a lot to ask for.
What do you say when NZTA says the negotiations are complex?
I'm sure they are complex, but I'm sure they must be able to come up with another time frame, even if it's, I know we have contractors in New Zealand and the head contractors are still working on our roads. So I'm sure all these things are under great discussion, but I do think we've had 8 weeks. We've all been on Zoom meetings. These things could have been slowly worked through. You know, it's been business as usual for most of us. We've still just worked from home. So I find this quite frustrating. I do support them, but I just would like a time frame.
Do you believe there needs to be a plan B if there is a real standoff as part of these negotiations?
Well, everyone has to have a backup plan. I mean, if it falls over, you have to have a backup plan, and I'm sure they're probably working on that. Everybody would. But I'd like to think the ones who have started can finish.
Does this blow out your costs, by the way? It certainly has impacted the taxpayer in May again. But well, does this blow out your contribution?
Our contribution, we still have to pay this year. So what it does is means we've paid for the roads that don't link anything. So from that point of view, we're not joining anything. So we've got two roads onto nothing, is what I'm saying. So, yeah.
You're a local government politician. Are you talking to central government politicians? If the NZTA says, well, they are fronting up and talking, you're just not hearing things that are answering your questions. Have you tried to go any higher?
More to the point. Yes, well, we've tried to go to Nicole Rosie, the CEO, and we haven't managed to get any kind of reply from her, our CEO and myself. So, a quick conversation and put the facts on the table is all we need to keep us happy, I suppose.
All right. Nick Leggett, just finally back to you. You made the mention of the need for political oversight. You can't intervene in negotiations, I suppose, if you're a minister, can you? But what is it you are alluding to when you say that there needs to be some? Sorry, Nick, go ahead.
You'll recall, Catherine, you know, I was actually mayor of Porirua when this project started. So it's always been a challenge. It's always been something that has had rumours swirling around it. And from that perspective, as a government that came to power, obviously, 3 years ago, and they inherited a model, a public-private model that they didn't really like. But the point is that they knew that there were risks with this. And when I talk about oversight, I mean anticipate those risks, sit on top of the project, ensure that officials are dealing with the complexities before they come up or as they come up. And my concern is that, you know, there is a... I think it's probably fair to say that the government we've currently got wouldn't have probably given the green light to Transmission Gully, which is, you know, their absolute right. But they have shown a bit of a lack of enthusiasm for roading projects, including this one. And I think as a result of that, perhaps the eye has been off the ball a little bit in terms of the minister's interests, because what we know is that it's really easy to say you're going to do something. It's fairly easy to find the funding for it, but actually delivering it is much harder. And that is the challenge here. What we want to see is delivery of a safe and positive new highway for the Wellington region that's going to move people and freight, and do so safely and add to our regional economy. And that, I don't think, is too much to ask. And it's not too much to ask that that's done within a time frame into a budget that we can all be aware of. And it's not a case of giving all the information out that's commercially sensitive. It's just a case of regularly keeping us updated as to what's going on, because there are people like the trucking operators that I represent that want to have some surety, because actually this road, it's 27 kilometres of high quality road, it's going to be a big deal for them.
Okay, thank you again. Road Transport Forum New Zealand Chief Executive Nick Leggett. Thanks very much also to Porirua City's Council's Mayor Anita Baker. We did receive a statement from NZTA, the substance, the main information in it I read at the start.